back at the beginning of May, we announced our writing competition, A Page from My Life. And we thought we'd probably get a couple of hundred, because the more you ask people to do, the less response you get. That's a rule in broadcasting. And then over the first weekend, 50 came in. And then by the end of the first week, we'd reached what we thought we'd get, 200. And then they kept coming. And they kept coming via email and handwritten and posted, typed and all sorts. And there were stories from everybody, all sorts of stories. There was stories of heartbreak, stories of death, stories of birth. There were funny stories, particularly sad stories. There were stories that people had never told before. And they were using our little competition as a way of getting it down on paper and getting it off their chest. So at the end, all told, there was over 2,500 entries to A Page from My Life. Thanks very much to Penny and Rachel, who read through them all, whittled it down to a workable number and sent them off to our judges, who we have lined up on four telephone lines here. We have author of Notes to Self, Emily Pine. How are you doing, Emily?
Great, Ray. Yeah, absolutely. Loved reading all of those entries.
Good to talk to you. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Donal Ryan, author of The Spinning Heart and loads of other books, The Slanting of the Sun stories, All We Shall Know, From a Low and Quiet Sea. How are you doing, Donal?
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
And Eimear MacLeod, oh my God, what a complete Aisling. Three books, co-writer. How are you doing, Eimear?
Afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. And then Owen Colfer, author of Artemis Fowl, and his latest adult fantasy book is High Fire. How are you doing, Owen?
Hey, Ray. How's it going?
Good. You always have that little laugh in your voice, Owen, when you talk to me.
Everybody is saying, you know, how honoured they were to read it. And all I remember was when I got this phone call, I was going, Jesus Christ, I don't have enough to do with that.
Without your man Darcy calling in a favour.
I'm joking.
I know you are. So while we're there and talking to you, Owen, what have you got to say about the entries that you read? And I know you had just a sample of them, but they were a sample of the best.
It was something Donal said, I think. They were so brave. Like, people just went straight for the emotional juggler and really put down on paper the most traumatic moment of their lives. It was actually a privilege to read them in a way. Mm. But there's stuff down there that I'd never... I still haven't got to the point where I could talk about that. And, you know, stuff like medical yes. exams and infant mortality and just really harrowing stuff. So fair play to people. They really went in at the deep end.
Mm. And some people misheard me. So you got a bit of fiction in there as well by accident. I said, you see, over and over again, I said a page from your imagined autobiography, you see, and
yeah.
imagine that you would write an autobiography, it would still be yours. And of course, yeah. people took that as a license to write fiction, but we sorted that out anyway. Okay, Owens, there we are. Emily, of course, your Notes to Self is a memoir, it's essays, so this is right up your street, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just to echo what Owen says, everyone was so brave. And what I loved was everything I read had something brilliant going for it. You know, there was the really sad ones and they kind of move you and your heart goes out to the people that have written this about their lives. But there were also really vivid ones, funny ones, lots of ones about childhood, you know, that really brought you back to those summers of kind of running around and being slightly... I mean, it was a different world then when we were kids. So again, just so evocative, really, yeah. so many of the pieces.
Mm. And Donal, you were saying that it's difficult to, you know, to be limited to 500 words.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's amazing what people can compress into such a small space when they want to. And, you know, the people who kind of stuck to the brief rigidly of A Page from My Life, I think they were the ones that stood out most, because, you know, the ones that we picked as the winners are the ones who really have encompassed something, you know, really defining about themselves yeah. in pretty much one page. Fantastic.
And you lecture in writing. So what would you say to people who won't be mentioned today but have entered?
Oh, there were some entries that were just fantastic. I mean, the writing was just so strong. And a few, as you were saying, that unfortunately didn't quite fit the brief because they were fiction, but
yes,
but brilliantly done fiction. Yeah. So really, really good. There were stories that would win any flash fiction competition because flash fiction, it's a very specialised kind of fiction.
What you is know, that? Never, really. I didn't hear about that until you mentioned it the other day. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see competitions advertised for flash fiction. It's normally where people are asked to write a story in 200 or 500 words or maybe 1,000 at the most. But it's normally around 500 words. And it's hard to do. You know, you have to develop a full narrative arc and resolve something in that short space. It's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Some of the entries for this would fit that completely.
I must mention Sean, who emailed us from Rooski, because I was reading some of the entries over the last few weeks. and Sean was worried that one of the things I read out had more than 500 words. So he went back to the RTE radio player and transcribed the thing that I'd read and worked it out that the person had actually used 497 words. So there, well done, Sean. Eimear MacLysett.
All right.
Yeah, you were very enthusiastic from the off, unlike Owen Colfer, about this.
Maybe you should have got Sean from Rooski to read a few.
So what did you think?
I absolutely loved it. Like, it was a real privilege to read them. I wasn't, even though we only read a kind of a condensed number of the thousands of entries you got, I still wasn't expecting the level of kind of clarity and brilliant writing. And I set myself a few criteria when I was deciding which were my favourites. It was like, how well do they drop me into the story? So if this is a page ripped out of a book, how well does it fit that? And most of them were just absolutely brilliant. I wanted to know what happened before. I wanted to know what happened after. It was just really great.
And I'm just looking at the three people we're going to be talking to in the next quarter of an hour or so. And I think one of the three have done, you know, creative writing courses. The other two have never done anything like this before in their lives.
It's amazing. Like, I've actually never done any creative writing courses, but reading these kind of, as Donald said, some of them were almost like flash fiction, but I felt like maybe I'm going to go and do a creative writing course. Like, I've only ever written about one character, so I got quite inspired.
It's working well for you though, Eimear, in fairness. Yeah, and it worked well for you, Owen, as well, didn't it? The one character thing, sticking with the one character for a while.
It was going very well till recently.
Well, it got 10 out of 10 from our Tom, just so you know.
Well, that's great.
And he's watched Tom. It 3 times already. So
thank
that's
God for that, Tom.
There you go. That's okay. So there are judges. We have people waiting, shortlisted people waiting to hear what's going to happen next. But we have to take a quick commercial break and we're going to announce the two runners up and then the winner of A Page From My Life. Very exciting.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Very exciting. We decided that we would surprise our winners today. So Easons.com have given us a prize fund. We have two 500 euros to give away to the runners up in no particular order. And then the overall winner of A Page From My Life gets 1,000 euro from Easons.com. And the good news is for over 120 people who entered the competition, they will be published come this autumn. Which is very exciting, isn't it, Donal Ryan? They're going to be published in a book.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. So we've been speaking to Conor Nagle and people in HarperCollins, and it's going to be a book for charity, and it'll feature, as I say, 120 or more of the pages from people's lives. So guaranteed, we know what three of them are going to be, and one of them is going to be the work of Susan Carey. Susan, congratulations!
Oh my God! Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Well done.
Thanks a million. Never written a thing in my life.
Now, I'm going to ask you to read your piece. Are you up for that? Are you on a hands-free there or something? You sound like a little...
No, I'm on a mobile.
Yeah, come right into the mouthpiece there. Yeah. Now, you're guaranteed 500 euro, right, Susan Carey? You're also going to get your 500 words published in next week's RTE Guide.
Oh, just incredible.
And you're going to be in the book.
Oh, I can't believe it, Ray. I'm not having an awful year. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh. Right, well, we'll talk about your year in a moment.
Okay.
But are you up for this now, reading it? You are.
Cheeky. shaking, Ray. I'm shaking, but I'll do my best.
All right, take your time and you know, put your heart and soul into it. Right.
Okay.
Right, there you go.
October 2006, and I'm in the clinic in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda waiting for a colposcopy. It's a big day for me. As a very celibate single mother, my female bits haven't been exposed in the presence of another human being for a long time. I looked at the other women waiting. Were they here for the same thing? Were they like me? Did their last smear test need further investigation? Did their sister die at 30 from cancer and their mother? The door opens and the nurse calls me in. I'm tempted to ask her if she has a Dyson to go break through the cobwebs that form my chastity bed, but she has a very professional and serious demeanour, so I don't. In the room, there's diagnostic equipment, a bed with a monitor at its head, and my consultant, Dr. Ravpan. He explains the procedure, tells me not to worry, and I strip and lie on the bed. No serious head helps put my legs into the dreaded stirrups, and my dignity says goodbye and leaves. I lie there, staring at the ceiling, trying to imagine that I'm on a beach in the Seychelles. My imagination is not good enough. And instead, I imagine that Dr. Ravpan is putting on a miner's lamp to hack his way through to his destination. As the procedure starts, the monitor beside my head blips into life. And there it is. My cervix in 32-inch Technicolor. Of course, I Googled what was going to happen and what an abnormal cervix should look like. So I stayed glued to the screen, second-guessing everything I saw. And as I lay there, and as the procedure continued, the atmosphere in the room changed. Was I imagining it? I looked at Nurse Siri's head, but she wouldn't make eye contact. And suddenly, there was a tangible gravity and tension in the room. And silence. Finally, Dr. Ravpan said he was finished and I could get dressed. Fully clothed now, and as I gathered my belongings, the doctor explained that he would see me for the results in 2 weeks' time. My head was telling me not to ask, just leave, say nothing. But I couldn't resist and said, "Did it look okay?" He looked me in the eyes and said, "It didn't look normal." And those four words heralded the start of my fight with cervical cancer.
That's brilliantly written and brilliantly read.
Thank you.
Well done, Susan.
Thank you.
And Emily Pine particularly liked your entry. Emily.
I did. Susan, I can't believe you haven't written before.
I haven't.
It's extraordinary. It's so skillfully done.
And really, so humble.
No, it was. When you wrote that line, my dignity waves goodbye, and I read that, and I thought, I know that feeling. I know exactly that feeling.
And lots of other women know the feeling, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's the sign of really good writing.
Oh.
When it can evoke that, can put you as the reader in that moment.
Yeah.
And to capture that, and I think it was really brilliant the way you decided to just tell it exactly how it happened. Just step,
well,
minute by minute.
Interviewing, I don't know who you interviewed, Ray, maybe it was Emily, but somebody you interviewed in the build-up to this said, just write it as you would tell it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I tried to do.
Yes. And as Emer was saying there, she wanted to know what happened beforehand, and of course we all want to know what happened after. So I'm presuming that it wasn't good news then when eventually
it
you got the results.
Good news. No. So that was 2006.
Right. And where are you at now?
I had a hysterectomy and radiotherapy, chemotherapy, brachiotherapy then. And then 2013, same as Vicky Phelan, I got a para-aortic tumour, more surgery, more radiotherapy. And last year I had, just a year ago, I had my colon removed.
Jenny, you've had it tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So this...
how was it, Susan, writing about it? Did it feel like a positive thing to do?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not looking for a pity party or sympathy vote or anything, but like a year ago, I just had my colon removed. And this time last year, I was so ill and so weak. And
I cried every day because I couldn't get a stoma bag to stay on me. And to be able to do this, to have the energy to write this and bother to send it in, and to get this far is just amazing. Yeah. I'm blown away.
No, well, we're blown away with you, Susan. Yeah. Well done, Susan Carey, our first runner-up. And we'll talk again, Susan, I'm sure, and in person as well when this thing is over, when we can get people in the studio. Well done, Susan.
Thanks.
Congratulations. Well done. Well done. Now, our second runner-up, and again, in no order, we say congratulations to Anne Battersby. Congratulations, Anne.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You didn't know, you see. We told you. We told a little bit of a lie. We told
For
you
what?
That...
Did I win?
No, you didn't. We came. No, you're runner-up.
Yeah, I know. She told me to hang on. I may or may not be on.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So here's what you've won. You've won €500. You're going to be in the RT Guide next week, and you're going to be in the book. So
that's amazing.
Out of over 2,500 entries.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
Are you so shocked that you can't read your entry?
I know, I'll read it. All
right. Okay.
I've told this story so many times, but to actually write it down was a different thing altogether.
Okay, right. We'll talk to you afterwards then. Go for it.
Will I go for it? Okay.
Yeah, take your time.
After I stitched the cardigan together, I held it up. Would you look at the size of that? It's tiny. John put his hands over his eyes and said, "Don't be showing me that." I laughed and waved it at him. Another one of his superstitions. He was full of them. We'd an early start the following morning. It would be my last trip in the Scania for a while. It was very bumpy, and John didn't think it was a good idea for me to be bouncing around in my condition. It was almost Christmas, and we were expecting our first baby the following April and planning to marry soon after that, so it was exciting times for us. I always looked forward to our trips down the country. We would stop off for breakfast and have lunch on the way home. John had been a truck driver for years, so he knew all the good spots. I loved being high up on the road. We'd listen to our music and sing along. We stopped just outside Waterford at a small little house that served food. The smell of bacon and cabbage greeted us as we walked in the door, and the place was full of other truck drivers tucking into their dinner. On the way home, John was very quiet. I put it down to him being tired, but it wasn't like him at all. I was going to my mum's, so he dropped me at the top of the road and said he would give me a call in the morning. He kissed me on the cheek and I hopped out. I stood and waved as he drove away. The following day, I didn't hear from him, but it wasn't that unusual as we didn't have mobile phones. I had a hospital appointment, so the day went quick enough and I had an early night. I knew I'd hear from John tomorrow. I woke to hear my sister Una's voice downstairs. She worked nearby and often called over on our break for a chat. I threw on my dressing gown. Una was sitting at the table with my mum. She worked with John's sister, who she said wasn't in work. She was a great one for taking unofficial days off and always came up with great excuses. I laughed and said, "What excuse has she used this time?" Una smiled. "Ah, you're going to love this one," she said. She said her brother is getting married. We all broke our hearts laughing. I said, "She really is scraping the barrel now." Later that evening, the phone rang. Mum said, "That's probably John." I answered, thinking it was him, but instead I heard my friend's voice. We chatted for a few minutes. "Are you okay?" she asked, and I said, "I'm fine." She said, "You haven't heard the news then." "What news?" I asked. She paused. "John got married today."
Yow. So sorry. I wasn't expecting that at all. You can laugh now because of many years,
It was 38 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Donald Ryan.
Wow. Congratulations, Anne. Well done.
Thank you.
It's just a great story, and it's written in such a lovely, natural, conversational style, you know, and it's written in quite a muted way, and your reading actually was really strong. It was fantastic. But
Thank
I love
you very
the way,
much.
I love how you presented it, and I love how, it's a story of horrific betrayal, but your style of writing is quite muted, almost deadpan, and it's kind of all the more shocking and powerful for that. Mm. It seems like this, you know, is exactly how you would tell the story.
And that's what I say.
About.
I've told it so many times.
That really comes true, all right, absolutely. You know, it has a lovely natural kind of flow to it. And you just set your reader up brilliantly for the absolute gut punch of the last four words. You know, even though there's a semi-reveal before that, but, you know, it's said and then everybody laughs. So there's no way it could be true. And then at the very end, it is true, you know. And it's just, it's, you know, I read this and for the two or three days afterwards, it was in my head a lot. You know, I kept thinking back to it. And, you know, the lovely, gracious way, actually, that you described John and, you know, your time together on the road in Scania, there's a real grace in that. You know, there's a real kind of humanity about it.
Thank you, I'm very flattered to hear you saying something like that about it. I'm just.
And what's your right? You haven't written before, have you?
No, never. Like, I would have been a good essay writer in my day in school and that, you know. It's just words don't kind of flow, and I'm a great talker, and I'm a great storyteller, and
yeah.
I'm an open book, so I just tell people as it is, you know.
But I think we've really tapped into something here. There's a lot of people like you, Anne, around the country, from what I've read, and they should just need a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I've been threatening to do that for ages, and it was just with the lockdown, and I had a bit of time, and the competition, it just spurred me on to do it.
Yeah, well, we're delighted you did, and now you are, I'd say, €500 RT guide.
I honestly didn't do it. I didn't even know what the prize was when I wrote it.
And I'll ask Emily's question, if she doesn't mind me asking it, but how did you feel, and was it therapeutic? And
yeah, to see it down in writing, and even to read it out there now, as I say, I tell that story so many times, because once I get to know people, I don't have any secrets.
So. Yeah.
And everybody, when I tell it, always says to me, oh my God, you could write a book.
Well, 500 words anyway.
That's only the beginning of it. Yeah, you want to know the beginning and the end. Yeah. There's a huge book there.
Yeah. Well, well done. And again, we'll meet up the other side of this.
Lovely. Thanks a million.
Well done, brilliant.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks, Ray.
Eimear and
thanks, everybody.
Yeah, right. Well done. Now, listen, we were supposed to announce the winner before Nooked, but we won't get a chance to. So we let them off and we'll ring them back. So we'll be back in 5 minutes or so. Commercial break, Nooked, and then we'll announce the winner after that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, so we'll announce the winner in a moment, but Anish Toshin, I'm the Fleeve Skelton, and Oakdale, and Marion Ehulawan. Gurmagad, Marion, 5 on 5 Ray at RT.ie. We still have our four judges, Don Ryan, Emily Pine, Eimear McLoysett, and Owen Colfer. Thanks so much for staying on. If we weren't in lockdown situation, you'd all be in studio and it wouldn't feel as bad, but you're all there at home, so thank you very much for that. So we've one more job of work to do, and that is to announce the winner of A Page From My Life. This person will get €1,000 in cash. They'll be published in the RT Guide next week, and they'll be in a position of prominence in the book when it comes out in the autumn. So the winner of the inaugural A Page My Life competition, that puts us under pressure to do more of them, is Elaine Wilbur. Elaine, congratulations.
Oh, you, my goodness.
Yes, you're, my goodness indeed. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I have to catch my breath. I feel absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Well, I'll give you a chance to catch your breath while I tell you that all the judges, and we'll get to hear from them after you read out your piece, were effusive in their praise. and I don't know if it's them as a group of writers or whether this is a universal thing, but they all felt that it touched something inside them, and they all identified the themes that you wrote about so well. They all agreed. They're all nodding there. I can see them nodding at home. Okay. Will you read your winning entry for us then?
I absolutely will. Yes,
right, okay. Take your time.
Yes.
Right.
I think, first of all, I feel a little bit overwhelmed the fact that I'm speaking for radio. But anyway, I'm back. Okay, this is my story. We climb to the top of the high wall around Kelly's field. Come on, she says, just stand up. It'll be faster. Kelly's field has the biggest hay jump. We heard that you could jump from the railway bridge. She wants to go, and I want to be her. I watch her knotty legs stretch in front of each other, her socks inside her corked German sandals. That smile she flicks backwards is warm and taunting, the same smile she has when she loans me another 10p for a chickadees or a rubble bubble. I want to get up out of my 9 years of milky ordinariness, to shrug off early bedtimes and my Enid Blyton collection, to be White's life tan for a day, normal for everyone else except me. Be brave, I say to myself, but my body refuses. My raspberry ripple knees grip both sides of the concrete block so tightly I feel printed with gravelly ridges. Those indents are the branding of my weakness. I knew I would never stand next to her or walk along this imagined tightrope. Sorry. I knew it in the same way I knew I hated wet potatoes in my mother's stew. I'd probably have to go back for dinner, I say, and drop my leg down into my shame, searching for solid ground. I see her knowing smirk as she skims away from me. Her form briefly covers the sun, and I lower myself into her shadow before coming back to earth. I wipe the ingrained rubble from my knees and I make my way home. I hear the faraway screams of the hay jump threaded through the cuckoo's call. The tarmac falls under my footsteps and I look back at my temporary mark. As I round the corner, I see my brothers playing curb to curb. I hear the plastic spoke beads of someone's bike rattling closer. Someone who gets Kellogg's Frosties more than once a year and doesn't have to fight for the plastic treasure inside. My fingers thrum along the different wrought iron gates I pass. Each gap in a wall brings me closer to our opening. I have the scooped out feeling that something is missing. I look behind me wondering if I was worth following for once. But I know that her reach is always further than mine. I will always drop with the anchor while she soars with the sail. She is Mary and I am Laura, the Elizabeth to her Jessica. She is racerback tan lines and I am sunburned freckles. She is Quinsworth, I am Duns. She zooms along with her inline skates while I paint a P in my wooden tennis racket with black shoe polish. It's Wednesday, so that means statelets and chips. I can smell it coming through the front door as I round the pillars. I like Wednesdays. I still do.
There you go. Have you met this woman since childhood?
Yeah, I have. But I suppose, yeah, I had actually had a Zoom call with her at the beginning of this. And it kind of sparked something in my memory. And I just kind of took out my little journal and I wrote kind of the bones of that. Sitting down trying to figure out, like, what is it about you? That makes me feel this way. And so I just kind of, you know, like as an adult, just kind of trying to unpack what it was about that friendship that seemed so important at the time. But that's what it was.
You struck a chord with Emer McLeisert.
Absolutely. There was so much in that I, like, it's great when writing is relatable, but it doesn't have to be. That was relatable, but it was something that I felt I could never write myself, if that makes sense. Like, it was so beautiful. Like, I got the Mary and Laura and the Wakefield twins references, the Frosties, like, everything. I felt like it was my childhood, but written so beautifully by you. It's just gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank
you.
And Owen Colfer, you said that you could identify with that as well when we were having our chat the other day.
I know, yeah. Even though I'm not Mary or Laura, I think a lot of writers might have been the quiet children in the group and maybe would have liked to be in the action men. But I think I was won over by the Quinsworth and Duns. I was like, right, that is it. You know, because you can talk about all the rules you want and you can toss out all the various things that people should do. But when someone comes along with the talent, that just blows all that out of the water. And you can't even really fully explain why it's the winner, but it is absolutely the winner.
And Emily?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a really great example of how you write about a whole childhood and a whole personality with just a few details. And really captivating. And I mean, it's a lovely voice. And so we read all of these and we talked about them a lot. And we all said, about yours, and actually about loads of pieces, but about yours in particular, this could be the first chapter of a book. You know, this could be the beginning of something.
Yeah. And finally, Donal Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. It reads like that to me as well, like the first chapter of a really, really well-written book. The language is just extraordinary. I mean, that line that you read there, Elaine, as if it was nothing at all, that was my line, I kind of paused before it. I wanted to get up out of my 9 years of milky ordinariness. It's sublime, you know, yeah. It's so perfect. It's just so finely tuned and just bang on, you know, it's a really, and throughout the piece, the language is things like that. And it doesn't feel forced at all, it just feels, you know, the beauty is emergent from it. It's gorgeous.
We'll find out more about you in the future, but for the moment, I can tell people, can I tell them your age?
You can, yes.
39, married with 3 children, 16, 13 and 10, 3 boys.
Yes,
and true. And no surprise here, you're a psychotherapist. So there you go, that explains a lot. Okay. Congratulations, Elaine. €1,000 on the way.
You.
You'll be in the RT Guide next week and you'll be in the book, of course. And thanks so much to Donal Ryan, Emily Pine, Emer McLeisert and Owen Colfer. And well done again to our winner, Elaine Wilbur. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. See you.